The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. I'd like to use this opportunity to discuss some of the basic needs that our children have in their Torah Chinuch, in the aspects of Torah Chinuch that we can provide as parents in the home, and how the Seder experience, the Pesach experience, the Seder with its questions, with its answers, with its koises, with its matzah and moror and halel, how it can provide an opportunity to share some of these ideas and awarenesses, and educational directives and direction that our children definitely need. One of the most striking aspects of the Seder, one of the most striking aspects of the mitzvah, and it seems that the mitzvah of Haggadah, as the Torah seems to direct it, is v'higadeto lebincha. It's telling over to our children, telling them the sipur, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the purpose of the evening. That's the major goal. It is a goal of transmission to our children. It's extremely powerful when we think of the fact that as we are transmitting the glorious events of the Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of the miracles that took place to our children, we are giving over to them what we heard from our parents, who heard it from their parents, who heard it from their parents, and this goes back generation to generation in unbroken chain of transmission for 3,320, this will be 21 years. And not only in our family, but in your family, and your family, and his family, and her family, and throughout the world, throughout the millennia, throughout the Jewish globe today, every Jewish family, and even those that had a break of a generation or two that may not have been religious, most likely they had some type of a Seder where they did discuss the story, and they ate at least matzah on the night of Pesach. And even if they didn't, it's just a recent occurrence, but go back a few generations, and no matter who you talk to, every generation to generation, generation to generation, all the way back to the 3,320 years ago, just an amazing sense of the reality of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the story that we tell was not just told as a story, because besides the fact that we relate the story that an entire nation, millions of eyewitnesses, experienced these miraculous events and told it to their children and they to their grandchildren and so forth and so on to this very day, but we relive every year with the most amazing live props these occurrences. We not only recite the story in the Haggadah, we eat the matzah, which is reminiscent of the matzah that they ate as they rushed that momentous night out of Mitzrayim. We eat the moror to remind ourselves of the bitterness. We dip it in the charoises to remind ourselves of the mortar with which they were forced to build the bricks. We use salt water, reminding us of the tears, karpas, of maybe the meager food that they had, and so forth and so on. An experience which not only discusses, which not only passes on a transition, but it's a passing on from generation to generation in every family for over 3,300 years, not just a message, but activities, but a lifestyle that reflects the reality of these events. And it's not only at the Haggadah of Pesach, because Yetzias Mitzrayim is remembered by us in everything that we do. Our tzitzis, our tefillin, our mezuzah, our sukkah, our pidyon haben, our Shabbos, our yontif, and so many more are all zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything constantly remembering twice a day, ani asher b'lekeichem asher yitzeis yeschem b'yeretz Mitzrayim, the extent to which the Klal Yisrael has gone to recognize, to realize, to recount, and to relive these events is surely responsible for the fact that we today can testify to the veracity, to the truth of these events, just as they were appreciated during the last 3,300 years of our existence. And when we come to the Seder, and we can give over this glorious tradition, and oftentimes we do it in the presence of not only our parents, but grandparents, so that three generations link and sort of, I hear it from my father, but I spoke to his father to make sure that he didn't get the story wrong. And we link the generations in the giving over of this information and in the experience, in re-experiencing, reliving these events together on the night of the Seder. It has such a power that it's truly a very critical factor in our survival as a people today. And it's this enthusiasm for the events that we have to give over to our children, not necessarily in a lecture form, not necessarily in a presentation, but probably most successful in a discussion, in an interactive discussion. And speaking of interactivity, I think one of the most basic lessons that the Haggadah, that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim tells us about Chinuch, is that in fact the process must be totally interactive. The children are given nuts and the like to keep them awake, so that they should not fall asleep, so that they should be able to fully participate in the Pesach experience. The questions that they must ask, and we make such a big deal about it, is that the experience should be real for them. It's interactive. They're asking questions. They're getting answers. Your child will ask, you will tell. That interactive type of an educational experience, that is really what is called for in our educational process and what is demanded of us on this particular night, so that the experience become an interactive one, something that our children can truly benefit from. Of course, we all know that the interactive experience isn't just a general experience, but it's an experience with Arba Bonim. Keneged Arba Bonim Dibro Torah. The message of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the message of the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim, the message of the Mesorah that started in Mitzrayim and we carry on to this very day, is to be told in a discussion with our children, depending upon the unique individuality of that child. To the Chochom, that's a whole lecture. To the Rosho, it's a different type of an approach. The Tom, the Sheno, the Elishol, each one according to his capabilities, according to his interests, but it has to be interactive, and it has to be designed, it has to be fit for the individual child, so that the lesson should be taken home, should be internalized on his level in the most meaningful way possible. The Aruch HaShulchan brings, very interestingly, Rabbi Akiva hoy machale kloyes ve'goizim litinegis ve'erev Pesach kedei shlo yishnu v'yishach. Rabbi Akiva used to give out nuts and other things to the children on Erev Pesach, that they shouldn't fall asleep, they should play with them, I guess, and then be able to ask the questions. V'tamo shel dover lefi, and this is the reason, he says, v'fi sharainu shatere hikpida al sheles habonim b'layla hazeh. The Torah was makpid. It's critical that the children ask on this night. Kidechsiv kamkom ki sholcha binuch, as the Torah says numerous times, when your child will ask you, chol ikar sipur yitzias Mitzrayim, and the ikar's telling of the story of yitzias Mitzrayim, hu al yedei shelas habonim utshuvas ha'av. It's through the questions of the children and the answers of the father. Because through the question and answer process, then the emuna in Hashem, in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in all the miracles that took place, that pure emuna will become clear to them. It's not clarified as a story. We may not even pay attention to the story. We may even have an ADD attack and not be able to pay attention to the story. But through the questions and answers, the give and take, the interactive experience, that it becomes clarified. The pitoch, osu kol ha-pe'ulo yishatinekes yo'erim v'lo yishenim ba'ez ha-seder. It's therefore they did everything possible to keep the children awake, that they shouldn't fall asleep at the time of the Seder. V'chein chivo oleinu la'asois. And that is our obligation to do, to keep our children awake, to make it an interactive experience, to make sure that they feel that they partake through questions and discussion in all of these in this entire experience. Now, when we come to talk about the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's very important that everybody does a little preparation. And we have to have, and I imagine every year we have to have different stories, because those kids that do get involved and do pay attention, they need something else they remember from previous years. But when we talk about the Nisim that took place, the Nisim Gluyim that took place in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's something that can serve as a stepping stone to a whole new lease on life for our children. We describe to them Makas Dam, blood. The Mitzrim had blood, their water turned to blood. For the Jew, it wasn't so. And if it just so happened, to the extent, Chazal tell us, that a Jew and a Mitzri were drinking from the same water, the Jew would be drinking water and the Mitzri would be drinking blood from the same cup, from the same source. Truly Hashkochas Hashem, truly Nes Golui, something that shows Hashem's mastery of creation, something that clearly was witnessed by millions of eyewitnesses. It happened throughout all of Mitzrayim. All of these eyewitnesses recorded these events in the Torah and gave over and taught that document to their children, to the next generation, telling them, as the Torah says, Atem ro'isem asher osisi b'Mitzrayim. The document says that we witnessed what happened in Mitzrayim. Not we heard and we believed, but we witnessed it and we passed on that eyewitness testimony to our children. It has very, very strong power that they should take for granted. Talk to them about other Nisim. The Medrash says that in the Makas Arbe, the devouring of plant life. So it says that if a Jew and a Mitzri owned a bush or a tree in Shutfis, then the Jewish part would be saved, and the other part of it would be devoured. What happened if the Jew owned the roots and the Mitzri owned the branches? They had such a shutfis, the branches would be devoured, the roots and the tree, whatever, would stay. What happened if the Mitzri owned the roots and the Jew owned the branches? Then the branches would remain in animated suspension, the roots would be devoured, and the tree would stand like that. Hashkochas Hashem, Hashkocha Protis, the powers of Hashem over creation, witnessed by millions of witnesses and passed on from generation to generation to our children. And the Ramban tells us two things, two different Rambans. One Ramban tells us that the only eyewitness testimony that exists to Hashem's creation is the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because in Mitzrayim we witnessed the creative powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his control, total control over Chukai Shemayim Boretz, not only his control over the laws of nature, but his individualizing of the laws of nature. To the Jew it was light, and to the Mitzri it was dark. The sun shone for the Jew and not for the Mitzri in the same room. The plant stood alive, the part that belonged to the Jew, and the other part was devoured and was able to stand. The Jew drank water and the Mitzri drank blood. All of these things happening. And again, all of the powers of creation. And we recognize and we realize and we were able to eyewitness, millions of eyewitnesses testify to Hashem as the creator, something which had not been witnessed originally, because even Adam was only created after the whole creation was finished. But then the Ramban in Parshas Bo says something else. The Ramban says that from the Nisim Nistorim, Nisim Gluim, the obvious blatant miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, we come to recognize the hidden miracles that are the essence of Torah, the essence of the life of the Jew, the essence of what Klal Yisroel is surrounded with. Nisim Nistorim Hashgocha Protis, how Hashem is involved intimately in every detail of our existence. This is such an important message to be able to have them recognize like this. If we don't know about Nisim Gluyim, if we don't realize that there were millions of eyewitnesses to Nisim Gluyim, if we don't realize that these Nisim Gluyim were passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation, 3,320 years to this very day, and we continue to pass it on to our children with the same enthusiasm, with the details of the story, with the physical props and the reliving of the circumstances, in order to assure that that message survives to the future. And when we give them this information, and then we tell them, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still involved in our lives. He does Nisim Nistorim. He's involved in Hashgocha Protis. Or if we tell them, as Reb Yaakov Emden swears by his life and says, that the miracles that have surrounded the survival of the Klal Yisrael and the Torah throughout the millennia in Golus are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Greater than all of these miracles that we celebrate. The survival of Klal Yisrael. Think about it. The Gemara in Yuma says that's why the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were able to restore the word Neuro, the Neurois. Where's the Neurois of Hashem? He says, the Goyim feel free to do with us in every tkufa of our history, whatever they please. And yet they are no longer. And Klal Yisrael survives and flourishes. That is the most mind-boggling concept in the world. Everyone and anyone who has felt free to attack and to destroy and to decimate Klal Yisrael has been permitted. And yet, they're all gone, buried, hiding in some museum or in the chapters of an old history book. And Klal Yisrael survives, flourishes, and we will sit down, Be'ez Hashem, to the Seder in 3 weeks, to sit down to the Seder with a fervor, with an excitement, with an exalted feeling that our people have had for the last 3,321 years, something that truly can inspire our children and give them a sense of meaning and purpose in life and Hashem's direct involvement in every aspect of our creation. I think it's important for our children, through the Seder experience, to develop also a sense of Hakoras HaToiv. Hakoras HaToiv is something that's so sorely lacking today. You know, the human being doesn't really want to admit the good that's done for him, not from Hashem and not from anyone else, because when good is done for us, we are beholden. We don't want to be beholden. We want to be free. And freedom seems to us to be not to owe anybody anything. And therefore, HaKoras HaToiv sometimes is a difficult midah. And the Chazal at the night of the Seder recognized that unless we can develop HaKoras HaToiv, with the whole Seder experience can pass us by. It's not enough just to be a historical act. It's not enough to just rediscussing and reliving afilu events of our ancient history, but we have to participate in such an extent as if it actually happened to us. Asher go'olonu v'go'ales aviseinu. As if it's real, as if it's happening to us now, and we have to develop a sense of appreciation for what Hashem did. Because if we can't allow ourselves to appreciate it, at some point we might chas v'chalila reject it. And that appreciation is not so easy to come by sometimes. And one of the basic concepts of appreciation is conveyed in the Dalet Kosis. The Dalet Kosis is an opportunity to express on four individual occasions, connected the four lashonis of Geula, v'hitzesi, I took you out, v'hitzalti, and I saved you, v'galti, and I redeemed you, lokachti, and I took you, and Sipurno explains, v'hitzesi was the end of the Shibud, they were no longer serving, but still in Mitzrayim. Vehitzalti means they actually left Mitzrayim. Vegoalti means they went through the Yamsuf and saw their oppressors drowning. And Velokachti is to take us to Har Sinai. These were the four stages of Geula. And we take a kus and connect each stage to express individual appreciation for every aspect of the Geula. It isn't enough to class action express, Shkoyach, thank you very much for taking us out of Mitzrayim. That doesn't play on the nerves. That doesn't touch the sensitivities. That doesn't inspire Hakaras HaTov. I don't even pay attention to it. It's too big, it's too general, it's too vague. But no, one kois yayin, I lift up the kois yayin, keneged v'hitzesi, appreciating that Hashem, we continue to be in Mitzrayim, but we stop working, Rosh Hashanah, no more work, no more physical slavery. V'hitzalti allowed us to see, to leave Mitzrayim. Wow, we left, we're finally out. V'goalti allow us to witness our oppressors, the geula, the final, the redemption is when we see the oppressors bobbling and drowning and we're walking through on dry land. Taking us to Har Sinai to give us the Torah. And if we look at each one of these individually, this gives us a sense of appreciation, and it's for each individual event, and it's that sense of appreciation that the Baal HaGadol wants us to appreciate when we say the famous Dayenu Kama Malos Tovis LaMokom Aleinu. It wasn't one thing, but Ilu Hotzionu MiMitzrayim, if he only took us out of Mitzrayim, Dayenu, and the Goyin says, Lahidus, it would have been enough to thank him. Not that it would have been enough if we didn't get the Torah, if we didn't come to Eretz Yisrael, but it would have been enough to be so thankful just for that alone, and just this alone, and just that alone. Every one, every act, every chesed is enough to be beholden to say, Dayenu Lahidus, Alachas, Kama Vekama, how much more so, all of the wonderful things that Hashem did for us, how much more we must be appreciative. When we dissect the appreciation piece by piece, when we allow ourselves to focus on all of the specific chesed that Hashem has done for us, it's then we can truly appreciate what He has done and begin to thank Him. And this is what the Kosis are doing, and this is what the Pesach experience and the Hallel does. We must develop, we must express in order to internalize an appreciation for all of the chesed that Hashem has done. And if we can't allow ourselves to feel that appreciation, that hakora of the toiv, part of that is that we refuse to be makir, to recognize the good that He has done, and we blind ourselves, and we won't, just as we don't want to look at all of the kindness of the past, we won't look at the kindness of the present. And if, in fact, we can help our children to develop the mechanism of seeing Hashem's Hashgocho in this world, that mechanism can be the most powerful singular influence in their lives. Because when they feel Hashem's Hashgocho, they have a personal relationship with Him. Their tefillahs take on a new meaning because I'm turning to Him b'tefillah, because He responds, because He's involved. He's active in my life. He's full of kindness. He performs the most amazing types of acts, detailed, personal, intimate involvement in every aspect of my being. And if we can bring our children to understand this, then they can understand everything. but then their closeness to him is compelling, and it gives them the strength to maintain the full magnitude of their religious convictions. And this can be brought about through the Nisim Gluyim, the appreciation of the Nisim Gluyim, through the a discussion, the give and take, the interactive question and answer, which brings out in a way that's interesting and relevant and beneficial and attention-grabbing to our children, and the kuisis and the dayenu and the halil, the hakoras hatoiv, the ability to recognize and to express appreciation for every minute detail, separately, individually, for all of the kindness Hashem does. This combination is a winning combination of nisim gluyim and of hakoras hatoiv and of the interactive involvement in these things that allows our children to recognize Hashem throughout their daily existence, which can probably give them the greatest chizuk that they need throughout the year, and they will subsequently discover Hashem's involvement in their lives, Hashgacha Pratis, in the lives of their families, and it can certainly have a major impact on everything that they do.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.